Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Tracks are starving and it's so expensive to host an event. Texas Motor Speedway is like 50 grand base.
For one day?
People say, oh, you're anti-takeover, but you're pro street racing? How does that work? There's no right way to do a takeover. There's a right way to street race. You go to an old has-been like car show, it's been the same for 20 years. You're driving out every day on your sports car and you see a cop, they look at you, they see some kid doing burnouts in an intersection on a Saturday night. So it doesn't matter what you're doing in the car scene, we're gonna be looked at the same.
Welcome back to another episode of the Street Alpha Podcast. I am your host, Tooks, and we have another episode for you guys in Dallas, Texas. We are here for Texas 2K, and we had the pleasure of linking up with Eli, who is the owner of M&M Events in Texas. He is known to throw the biggest car events in Texas year to date. So let's give it a round of applause for Eli.
What's up?
So we got your drift build back here as well.
Yeah, that's my drift car.
Yeah, with the Meisters on it, which I have the same exact
wheels. It's got the Meisters on it, but I'm not really drifting on those.
Which I'm actually surprised. I'm like, how are you drifting with these wheels?
Yeah. No, I swap them out.
Let's talk about how you got into throwing like these big events. Yeah. We were there last night. It's my first time ever at any event in Texas. Mm-hmm. First time here at Texas 2K. I'm not sure if I mentioned it on the other podcast, but yeah, it's definitely a vibe. So talk about how, like, what made you want to start doing events?
So what made me want to start, I grew up going to, I've been a car guy my whole life. My dad was painting cars since I was like not even born. So, he would have side jobs here and there and I'd, you know, try to help him out and scuff up a car with some sandpaper and he'd teach me how to do that. And then, he would take me to like drag racing events. Mm-hmm. Obviously he had built a Civic, four-door Civic,
B-Series.
I'm a big Honda guy. I have an R6 over there, but.
I wish we would have had it in the
K24 turbo, you know, Honda boy dream, but no, but yeah, so I grew up going to car events and I grew up going to the same exact ones every year. And by the time I got to the point where I had my own car and I can go to these events, I was just bored. I was like, these are all the same every year. And so I was like, kind of like looking and going to Cars and Coffee here and there. And I'm like 17. And I'm like, you know what? I could probably like get some cars out myself, you know, post an address on Instagram and get some cars out and maybe, you know, have some fun. So I did that. I had a few car meets here and there and I just literally posted an address on Instagram on my personal page and I had like 15 like pretty nice cars come and like a Lambo. And I was like, dang, I didn't know I could do that.
Like, how many followers did you have?
Maybe like 1,000.
Okay.
It was all like high school friends. Like I wasn't even graduated. So we were just like, you know, pull up to like this park and we had like 15, 20 nice cars. I was like, this is sick. Like it felt like I was throwing a party, you know? So then I was like, you know what? If I can get 15 cars out without even trying, like maybe if I make an Instagram page for it and I put a name to it and I put a brand to it, mm-hmm. people will look at it like I'm trying to do something. So I did that and I was like, well, I don't know what days to host and I wanted it to be like a weekly thing. And so I was like, well, what day can I host that isn't too like concentrated or saturated?
Right.
Everyone hosts on Saturdays. So I was like, maybe I'll host on a Monday. So what are you doing on a Monday night?
I mean, when I
used to
work.
If you're working a 9-to-5.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You're not doing anything on a Monday night. You're
right.
Sleeping.
Yeah.
And when I started, it was around COVID. So everyone wanted to get out. So I was like, Monday night, you know, COVID's kind of loosening up. Mm-hmm. So people are trying to get out. So I started hosting, you know, an address every Monday. Every Monday for like 3 or 4 weeks straight. After 3 or 4 weeks of like just posting an address, I had about 100. And after that, I was like, all right, I'm going to do giveaways. So I gave away a $20 Whataburger gift card, and I had 100 people at that meet surrounding me to win a $20 gift card. And the way I had it set up, the sweepstakes set up, was there's an app pretty local to DFW that most car enthusiasts that have cars that go to car meets mm-hmm. every weekend, they have an app. It's called Park Up Front. It's a way to like promote your show, a way to host your show. You just have a car club, and then you could, that gives you the option to host an event. And so all the people on that app, they could register for your event. So I had people registering for my event. And so I would go through, put all the usernames in a randomizer, mm-hmm. and then I would, you know, hit random, and then I'd call their name, and they won the $20 Whataburger gift card.
Okay.
So that was a hit. I was like, dude, like, I just did my first giveaway, you know? And so after that, we did a $500 giveaway. It was free to enter, and that kind of blew everything out of the water from, you know, everything previously. So after that, I got an actual venue. Like, once I got, you know, 500 cars into a parking lot, I was like, all right, I need to find a venue so I could start charging people and do mm-hmm. this like legally.
Right.
And make it, you know, and because I had already had started the brand, you know, I already knew what I was going to be doing. I just needed to execute it and do it. So I got lucky and I got a really nice venue. If you're an OG and watching this, like, you know of this. It's Maverick Harley-Davidson. It's legendary, bro. Legendary. Okay. All the OGs know of it, and I get DMs literally every day. Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back, and I just can't because we're way past that. So Maverick Harley-Davidson, beautiful venue, bunch of lights. We had an amazing VIP area. Mm-hmm. We started getting a bunch of exotics out. I was able to host a rev battle where you could win $300.
Oh, that's dope.
So we'd do a rev battle, and insane two-step cars would come out. Insane flame kits. And all while that was happening, I was, you know, investing heavily on not just giveaways and like competition, but entertainment. I had a kid come out, his name's Drew Guerra, and do backflips over cars on a scooter. He is a very talented kid. He's came up to me one day and was like, yo, can I jump over a car like right here? And I'm like, what the fuck? Hell no. Like, no, you cannot. Like, who are you, first of all? Second of all, I need, like, some type of liability contract.
Right.
I don't want to be, like, this is a $300,000. This is $1 million of cars right here in front of me. And if your scooter flies out and hits one of those cars, I'm liable.
Yeah.
So
right.
I was like, all right, no. No, you cannot. And then he sent me a DM later that night and was like, a video of him jumping over a car in a shop doing a backflip over. I'm like, all right, next event you're coming out and we're doing it. But you're signing a contract.
So if he damages the car, he's fully responsible.
So he had never done a flip or anything at an event before, but he sent me a video of him doing it so he can come out and do it.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, bet, let's do it. And that blew up. It was on ESPN, World Star, got Tanner Fox's attention. They came out. Tanner Fox jumped a Bugatti with him.
What?
And yeah, dude. So that blew up for sure. And then that all was happening at the Harley-Davidson location, and we were doing two-step battles, backflips, giveaways, and it was just a vibe. So after that, we grew out of that, having 1,000 cars there every 2 weeks on a Monday night.
Okay.
After doing that for about 6 months, we eventually lost our venue because it just was too big. Like you saw last night, there was like 4 miles of traffic.
Yeah, it was insane.
So I probably hosted about 40 of, like 30 or 40 of those events there.
Like last night.
Like last night was the biggest I've ever done. But at the Harley-Davidson, I was getting at least 1,000 spectators every 2 weeks on a Monday night.
That's wild.
For about 6 months.
At 20 years old,
yeah.
How responsible do you have to be to have a bunch of people who are young like yourself? Yeah. Come to an event with their cars.
You got to be well oriented for sure. Like, you have to have some type of influence to you, you know?
Okay.
So like, I'm super big on like bringing the right vibe to the car scene. Like, not only the right vibe, but the right people. And just like, you know, and we'll talk about takeovers soon, but you know, just if you're into that stuff and you're going out to takeovers or you're out street racing, which is completely fine. I'm not against it, but you know, there's also people out there that want to host a peaceful car meet.
Right.
And all those people are out driving on the street every day in their sports car.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're driving out every day on your sports car and you see a cop or you see an old lady or you see a $1 million business owner, they look at you and they see some kid doing burnouts in an intersection on a Saturday night. So it doesn't matter what you're doing in the car scene. We're going to be looked at the same, no matter what. So I'm like, you know, it's kind of hard to explain, but, you know, I'm just kind of like, I'm kind of trying to host. Now I'm hosting events to where you could do all that stuff. You could go do burnouts and do freestyle, whatever, and you could win money. And you could come out, you could drag race, like street racing, flashlight and everything, down an 8th mile drag strip, no prep, and win money. And then you can come out, drift your car on a track, and learn the skills, learn everything you can about the technique of driving and drifting. You know, not only, like, if you learn techniques of drifting, you're going to learn techniques of just driving on the road.
Right.
And just getting around and going on an actual road course. But, yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to give people some type of encouragement to do things the right way. There's a right time and place for everything, no matter what it is. So if you're out street racing, there's a right time and place for street racing.
Right.
You could go do it the right way, but you could also go to a track and spend the money and win some money as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're out street racing, you know, have a spotter a mile back, have a spotter a mile front, and then have no spectators.
Yeah.
Take a video. And now in Texas, if you take a video of street racing, you know, you'll be targeted now in Texas.
Even if you recording your phone?
Yeah, I know a group of videographers that were on 635 Expressway in Dallas that were filming bikers doing wheelies, and Takeover Task Force undercover was following them the whole time. Didn't pull over a single biker. They pulled over the camera car, arrested all of them.
So are they?
So in Texas, it's lockdown. But you're on 635 in the middle of the day. Anyone could be watching you. You know, like leaving Ennis today, you probably saw 20 state troopers.
Always, yeah.
So
the whole week, yeah.
I mean, I got pulled over with this car leaving the other day for no front plate, and I wasn't the first one. There was 30 other people the same day that got pulled over for no front plate, which is weird, you know. To me, that's weird. I mean, I told the cop, I'm like, don't you think, like, there's people out there doing worse things than, like, having a sports car going 5 under with no front plate, you know? And he was like, well, unfortunately, not everyone's like you. And I was like, why'd you pull me over? Anyways, bro, you're scaring people from going to the track.
Like, yeah.
You're scaring people from going to the track. They don't want to bring their sports cars to the track anymore because you're going to pull them over for going 5 under with no front plate. Like,
right.
What the hell, bro? But I'm like, I'm telling the cop, I'm like, dude, I'm hosting an event on Saturday. It's for charity. It's going to be big. But it's from people that are going to the track and doing things the right way. Like, how are y'all gonna, you know, scare people away from doing that, you know?
What did he say to you after that?
He said, unfortunately, not everyone's like you. I pulled over 10 out of the last 10 people I pulled over, 7 of them didn't have licenses. And I was like,
ooh.
Well, I'm sure all those 7 people didn't have a car this flashy. Because if a car this flashy is driving on the road, they probably have something going for them. Or they like, this is literally an advertisement on my car. Like,
yeah,
you know, so it's crazy. It's a crazy world we live in now.
So how has the like the whole lockdown situation with the officers and how they're pulling people over? How has that affected everything?
I mean, this week, because the Texas 2K, it's the biggest street style drag racing event in the world. It was absurd. Now, because it's in Dallas, they're just trying, Dallas PD and the Metroplex, all the police departments are just trying to prove a point. They're like, we're not playing around. Don't come over here and street race. Don't come over here and do takeovers. You know, I even, like, at my event, I hired SWAT. I hired the Takeover Task Force. I hired everyone that I could to make sure they're on my side. That's my whole thing, too, is what I'm trying to do is prove to them that we're on their side, like, and get them on our side.
Mm-hmm.
If we prove to them that we're on their side, they're going to be on our side, like, right. you know? So that's really all I'm trying to say.
Is there any, like, at your events, like last night, I noticed that there was people pulling in and they were revving their cars.
Yeah.
Now, on the flyer, it was mentioned that you should not be revving your car when you pull in or you'll be kicked out. Do you think that pissed off the officers or do you think that
I think it gave the officers hope.
What sense?
So I think most officers that go to a event, I say event, a car meet, that was an event. There's a difference between events and car meets, by the way.
What's the difference?
Just the difference between an event and a car meet is free and you pull up to an address and you go crazy. You could be a car meet can be a parking show or a car meet can be a crazy rev battle craziness. But a car meet's free and a car meet doesn't have staff and a car meet does not have a permit and a car meet. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like an event, you have a permit, you have police on staff, you have 30 staff members if you're expecting 5,000 cars and you're paying. It's a paid event. You come there, you buy a ticket and you run it, you organize it. A car meet, there's no organization factor. There's no entertainment. There can be, and it can be for free, mm-hmm. but you know, you're losing money. It's labor. I'm putting in my life's like effort, you know? Right.
So what about the people that pay for car meets or pay for events that mm-hmm. they post on Instagram?
Well, if they pay, okay. So like, I mean, I call my event a car meet,
okay.
you know, and there's a way to defer them, but I call my event a car meet because there's no trophies to the show cars and spectator and show car is the same price. So I call it's a car meet and an event in a sense, because it's a family event where you come and you look at cars, but it's also a car meet where people with nice cars come and meet with other people that have nice cars.
What's the best way to make sure that you're going to an event that's permitted?
Usually you could tell by the flyer, not a lot of organizers that are hosting an event that isn't permitted will tell people that it's not permitted. They just say, I have permission. So like, I have permission to be there, but it's not permitted by the city. So, you know, if you have permission to be there and you have, you know, 100 cars out, you know, you will have no problem if you just have permission.
Right.
But if you have 1,000 cars out and you have 4 miles of traffic and you don't have a permit, you will get shut down no matter what. Cops are going to come and they're going to shut it down and you're going to have to refund everyone.
So you said you hired PD for this, and is that something that anybody can do? Or
yeah, you just have to have a special events permit. I don't know how it is in other states, but in Texas, you have to get a agreement with the venue and the property owner mm-hmm. and the manager, and then they write up a contract, or the contract's already ready with the city.
Right.
But they sign off on it, and you sign off on it, and it all, you know, the city approves it. Once the city approves it, you could hire the staff or the off-duty police officers, right. and you pay them hourly, and they'll come and patrol your event, and then, you know, you just kind of tell them where, like, you're literally hiring police. So
at any time, can the property owner say, I don't want this event to happen? Because that's been the situation before as well.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen if they're like, if they don't like how you're running things, it could happen.
Or if there's like donuts happening or burnouts in the parking lot.
Yeah, I mean, they just get shut down. I mean, it's going to be hard for a property owner to come out while someone's being doing burnouts and be like, this is shut down, you know, and then it'll shut down and we'll get the police, you know, to shut it down for us. Mm-hmm. But it's never really happened to me. I take a lot of pride in how I run it, the events, right. but I've seen it happen. Like I've seen people that don't have permission that go to a venue, or not a venue, because if they had permission, it would be a venue. But right. if they go to a parking lot and the property manager comes out and they're like, y'all need to leave or else I'm calling the cops. They call the cops and the cops kick them out. Like I said, I have events for everything. Like, yeah. Like where you were last night, that's a family event. There's apartments next door to the church. If I get 2 complaints from that apartment complex, the city isn't going to approve my permits anymore. So if you rev, you're out. I will get a police by my side to personally escort you out of the property. And I'll also take a picture of your park up front username and send it to the developers, and they will delete your account. And you will no longer be able to make an account on park up front. So damn. That's how serious it is.
So that's the benefits of using the app too, right?
Yes, that's the benefits of being partnered with the app. it's been really beneficial to me. It keeps everything organized. You come in, you show them the ticket, make sure it's live on their app, and you're in. That's all you have to do is register. And a lot of people last night are mad because they didn't get in, but I'm like, dude, you have to register and come, you know, early.
Right.
When I say the car show starts at 8 p.m., that means all the cars are parked, all the show cars are parked by 8 p.m.
Right.
That's when it starts. It doesn't start at 8 p.m. It's not arrive at 8 p.m. If you arrive at 8 p.m., you're going to be waiting in line for an hour and a half. And I make that very clear on my stories too. So
no, the line is
everything
insane.
I do is on Instagram too. So, you know, all the event information, you have to be active on Instagram to know what's going on, or else you're not going to have a good time.
So how many cars total were there? Because I know we were talking about earlier.
Cars total, I honestly don't know, but I have the experience to know how many cars look like.
Mm-hmm.
So I've hosted events with 3,000 people, all spread it out and everything. That event had 4,000 plus, 5,000 cars.
And cars still rolling
so,
in.
So, yeah, the venue holds, we know the exact count, it's 4,000 parking spots. And I'd say like 30 of those parking spots that you couldn't even see were not filled. So the whole entire parking lot was full. And then we probably had 4 miles left of traffic. If, you know, you come with a friend, so 4,000 cars, it's like 8 to 15,000 people, you know, if it's a van full or whatever.
And then you have the VIP area as well.
That area is for like invite only. Like I see their car and I really like it. And I know spectators are going to come there and it's going to help me out. And, you know, they'll obviously want to park VIP.
Right.
So I invite them out. Or if they just pull up with a, you know, McLaren, I bring them in. But I also, I'm a huge Honda guy. You know, if I see a clean drift car, I'm going to bring them in VIP, you know. So JDM, all that. And I literally had a dude on hydraulics and VIP. So
I saw that last night.
Yeah, like if you're like highlighting, you know, a certain spot of like the car scene, I'm going to put you in VIP. You know, that's what people want to see.
So what kind of cars do you think should not be in VIP?
I don't discriminate.
You don't discriminate.
Don't discriminate.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if it's clean, if I could tell you take care of your car and you really like your car, and I really like your car, and I know that all the spectators around me that are coming to this event are gonna like the car and take pictures of it, that's where I want my media at. You know, I invest very heavily on media, and I want the VIP area looking sharp, and so. As long as it makes for a really cool video and people want to see it, that's VIP status.
Right.
And it's obviously for influencers as well. Like we had Dan Rue in the VIP area and then he got away from it because he was getting bombarded. But
shout out to Dan Rue.
Dan Rue, bro.
So when it comes to cars, right? I know you had your preference on cars.
Yeah.
What kind of cars are you into right now?
Drift cars.
So this started out as a drift build?
Yeah. I bought it specifically for drifting.
So I'll talk about what this is. Obviously, we know it's a
350Z.
Right.
Bone stock. It's all it's got is an angle kit, coilovers, and bucket seats and a steering wheel.
How long have you had this car for?
3 months. No, untouched. Salvage title. $7,000 HR.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So,
dude, it's such a good car. I never liked 350Zs until I got one because I only got it because I wanted to drift. And if you want to get into drifting, you buy a 350Z. You buy a 350Z, no question.
Yeah, everyone like, says that.
Yeah, you just buy a 350Z. That's what I've heard. That's what everyone that I know that drifts, because I host drift events.
Right.
That's what they started with. So, like, yeah, get a 350Z. It's going to last you forever. It's a perfect seat time car. You're going to love it. You could daily it and take it to the track. So I was like, all right, bet I'm getting it. And then, you know, you obviously don't need the angle kit, but I got it because it's a cheat code. Just 100% a cheat code. And I got, like, the best, most angle you could ever get. 75 degrees.
So do you think that seat, I did a podcast before and my friend Calvin mentioned that the seat is probably the best thing you could buy for drifting.
As long as it holds you tight. It's also like in your suspension, how stiff you want it, you play with it. But like the seat, that's where you're sitting at. That's how you feel the car.
Right.
So like you also don't want to be, you know, flopping around in
all
the car.
Over the place, yeah.
So those are cheap $300 seats, not pro spec. And then steering wheel is very important too.
So when you started drifting, what were some of the things that you like mentally had in your head to kind of make it easier?
Okay, so this car, I bought it and I immediately just told myself, I don't give a fuck about this car. If I crash it, I crash it. I don't care.
Okay.
All I know is that if you want to drift, you have to full send it, like no matter what. Because as soon as you hesitate, you're crashing.
So how did you get the mechanics down for, you know?
I mean, it's just so easy. You need to get a drift car.
I know. This is always a conversation when it comes to drifting.
Yeah, it's just like, if you know how to drive a manual, all you need to know is how the car feels.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, you just clutch kick, get it sideways. Once you get it sideways, you counter steer. And then you play with the pedal to steer.
Right.
You don't need to do all this flinging around with your steering wheel. You just play with your pedal to get more angle and less angle. And then you counter steer as you need.
Mm.
But once you're sideways, it's easy. As long as you know what the car is going to do.
Right.
So, like, you can hop in any car and know what it's going to do. Once you know what it's going to do, like, once you're sideways.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
It's muscle memory.
Now, you say drifting.
Drifting around a course.
Oh, okay.
I personally like this. I'm going to get shit for this, but like, I personally like going freestyle around like cones. That's how you get better.
Why would you get shit for that though?
People just like nailing a course. You know, you hit this outer zone, you hit this clipping zone. You
right.
know? I like going around like feeling the car out. And then like, if I want to, I could do a long sweeper and get a lot of smoke. But I just like being able to drive wherever I want. But like, also, you get more of an adrenaline rush when you're on a course trying to like actually get to where you need to be.
So do takeovers happen pretty often in Texas?
No.
They don't?
It used to be. I mean, I've heard in Houston there's a few that happen there. Recently, since I've, like, if you go to my Instagram and you look,
yeah,
I'm all about anti-takeover. Like, I hate it because the takeover guys, they're seen is not cars, they're seen as adrenaline. That's all it is. They're like, okay, yeah, cool, Mopar, but
yo, but leave the Mopar guys alone.
No.
So you're getting a lot of hate this week.
No, man. The Mopars are cool, but there's also a lot of G35s you see out there.
Yeah,
but yeah, they're seen as adrenaline. Like, if you don't get back, get smacked, bro. Like, it's adrenaline. You're not out there to show how good you are.
Right.
You're out there to get hit or hit somebody. So that's why I don't really like it. I mean, you can get adrenaline rush doing something legally and winning money. Trust me, winning money for having a skill with cars, if you're a car enthusiast, you will get 10 times the adrenaline rush.
I mean, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
You really can't argue with it.
Yeah, you can't argue with
like
that.
Like, if I'm a young car enthusiast, I could have chose the takeover route because I think it's cool. Like, tire smoke, you know, spinning around in circles with your car. But I'm a car enthusiast. Like, I'm going to go to the track and I'm going to go race my car and I'm going to figure out what techniques to use to nail this corner and nail this drift.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just two different worlds. And that's the problem nowadays, too, is like, if you're a young car enthusiast and you like cars, you're not going to know the difference. Like, you're not going to know the difference, and you're going to compare them, and you're probably going to choose the takeover. It's so much easier to get an adrenaline rush with the takeover. You just go there and then they do donuts around you and it's easy.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost any money. So that's what every young enthusiast is going to choose. They're going to choose the takeover. But you know, if you're on Instagram enough and you choose the right people to be around and you choose the right people to follow, you're going to find out a lot more and learn a lot more about cars and what people are there for.
Right.
So
how has that affected the car community in Texas?
I'd say I'm a pretty big reason why we haven't had a takeover in like 8 months in Dallas. I literally make merch saying fuck takeovers. So...
You're like really, you're like super anti.
Yeah, I mean, takeovers get a lot of attention.
Yeah.
So like, you could call me, you could say I'm clout chasing, but I'm not. Like, takeovers are a problem, for sure. And it's causing everyone, like I said earlier, if you're driving around, you know, and you see a rich guy that owns a property that you could host an event at, and he sees your car, he's going to think, you're doing burnouts in an intersection, mm-hmm. we're all being looked at the same. Doesn't right. matter. So like you have to know. Like you just have to be in the know. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. So what do you say to the kids your age? Because yeah. you're 20.
Yeah, I mean, whatever I'm going to say, I've already said, because 90% of my following right mm-hmm. now is 18 to 24
okay.
year olds. And so every day I'm posting something, you know, we're either doing a charity or we're at a track or, you know, we're just hosting a car meet, whatever it is, we're doing it the right way. And we're influencing people and young car enthusiasts to come out to our events and learn. You know, when you were there last night, I was on the microphone speaking facts to spectators that have never been to one of my events, saying, you know, we're at a church. This is a family event. If you want to see more events like this, follow our page. But if you don't want to see more events like this, we host more events that are not like this.
Yeah.
Like we host events that you could do things you want to do here that you can't do, that you will get kicked out for right now. If you do it, you can go over there and do it and win money for it.
So like legal,
legally,
like legally.
Yeah. You can go over to one of my other events at a track and win money for doing something that you want to come here and do. That's not legal.
Right.
So it's crazy how that works, but I'm literally trying to provide everyone a place to do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And be rewarded for it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it's the only way it's going to grow. It's the only way people are going to find out about it is if you're gaining something from it. You're not just, you know, providing entertainment. You're providing something for them to take back home, whether it's cash, a hoodie, you know, any event I do, I'm giving something away, you know, because they're also providing money to run the event. They're providing money to put in my pocket as well.
Yeah.
Because I'm working for this and I'm working to host the event. Which is a lot of people don't understand. Like, this is what I do for a living. And it takes a lot of time to host one event. Imagine hosting 60 of them in a year. Like, it takes a lot of time. So, especially as a 20-year-old,
yeah.
like, I'm sacrificing my young age, my young years
mm-hmm.
for my young car enthusiasts to learn and make the car scene a better place in 5 years. Because right now it's not good.
Yeah, right now it's not looking too hot at all. And yeah. I think a lot of things are going to change in the next couple of years. Yeah. I mean, I think maybe even next year, a lot of events got canceled because of the takeover. And no matter whatever car community you're in, it's all mm-hmm. because of the takeovers. Because like you said earlier, they all look at us the same.
Mm-hmm.
The police, they're always going to look at it the same way.
And that's the thing with takeovers. Like people say, oh, you're anti-takeover, but you're pro street racing? How does that work? Because I'm involved. I'm close buddies with, you know, Quiet, and we're partners, and we do everything together. We do events together, and I'm fuck takeovers. But they're like, you're pro street racing and anti takeover. It doesn't make any sense. There's no right way to do a takeover. There's a right way to street race. Trust me, people do it and don't get hurt. The only way to do street racing the right way is to make sure that the only people racing are the only ones in danger because they're signing their life away once they start hitting the gas.
Right.
So as long as they're the only ones risking their life, that's the correct way to do it.
Right. Because it happens at
takeovers. You're risking everyone's life. Not even just the spectators, people that are just trying to go home.
Yeah.
You're risking their life, not even their life, but their possessions. Like people are literally setting cars on fire. Like, dude, it's a problem. Like, focus up and then focus on the future and the big picture of the car scene. So, I mean, takeover guys, they trust me. They all they know about cars is, you know, did you delete the mufflers and do you have an intake? You know, people that are into going to the track, they could tell you how an engine works, how a turbo works, what a turbo is, you know?
Right.
So, like, it's a whole different dynamic. Even though we're separated and completely different, everyone around us are looking at us the same. So, right. like, you know, focus up.
Bro. Focus up.
Come on, make it easier.
Let them know. Let them know, bro. So what does the future look like for these events? How are you going to keep growing your events big enough to where you can make an impact on the car community?
Yeah, I mean, state to state.
State to state?
Texas, once I lock down that and I go to Houston and I go to San Antonio, I mean, people come from Houston and San Antonio and Austin to my events because I'm only hosting in Dallas.
Right.
But once I go to everywhere in Texas and I lock them down and I'm having 10,000 people every event and I'm proving everyone what I can do and how I can host events and what I'm trying to preach. Once I lock that in Texas, yeah, they're going to spread the word for me and I can go to whatever state and go, and then I'll go state by state. And then once I have, you know, US in, you know, so I'm good. I'll keep doing it.
What are some states that you want to hit first?
Cali.
Cali would be dope.
It's controversial because Cali, like, oh, you can't go to Cali to host an event because, you know, everything's illegal down there. But I'm like, well, I can go to Cali and host an event and tell them to move to Texas. No, but no, you could definitely go to Cali and like host a banger event and have everything what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And just be like, look, we're gonna be back, you know, and we're promoting, we're encouraging other hosts to come out and do this more often, so, and at a better effective cost,
right?
So that's another thing. Tracks are starving and it's so expensive to host an event. Texas Motor Speedway is like $50,000 base
for one day.
Texas. Imagine Cali.
If you just want to rent it for the day just to do some passes, any day of week.
So at TMS, like, I have to promote the event for 3 months with my size for 3 months to host an event to make enough money to break even at TMS. So imagine going to Cali, like, bro, everything's triple in Cali.
Yeah.
Like, you have to work just to break even. And now you've done 6 months of work. How are you going to put money in your pocket and pay for bills? You know? So like, dude, yeah, but I want to, like, that's what I want to do. That's like my passion, bro. I like doing it.
Yeah.
I like influencing people. I like 18-year-olds coming up here that don't even have a car yet, or 17-year-olds being like, yo, like, how did you, like, bro, invest in media, invest in staff, get a permit. It's not that hard. Do it. It's going to take some time and dedication and passion, but if you want to do it, you're going to do it.
Yeah. Can you talk about the importance of media so we don't skip over that?
Yeah. Dude, media is the biggest thing. That's the only reason I'm where I'm at. Like, dude, invest. Have as much photographers and videographers and the best you can find at your event if you're hosting an event.
Why is that important, though?
It's important because no car meets or car events are on Instagram posting badass reels. Nobody wants to watch a boring flyer. You know, if you see a bunch of cars doing cool things on a reel and you make a badass edit and you can put them together, like all the videos you see on my Instagram, I've edited. I just hire videographers to send me raw clips, and I have about an hour long worth of clips to put together into an edit to promote the next event.
Right.
So I'll have that all put together, and I'm not going to gatekeep this. A lot of people will gatekeep this because that's how you're going to have a successful event. No matter, like, you go to an old has-been like car show, it's the same for 20 years. It's been the same. And you'll look at their page and they don't have a single reel on there that looks decent.
Right.
Like, you look at your podcast clips, they're all very well put together.
They
all have captions. And so everyone, you know, that has something going, like, has something that they're trying to promote, they need to have that media aspect to where they're putting things together that engages the crowd and engages people to actually come out in person. That's the hardest part. You can get people to like your page and mm-hmm. follow you, but the hardest part is getting people to like your page and follow you and then choose to come out to your event and, you know,
right,
spend the extra buck to, you know, have a good time. So
make sure you have media in a nutshell. Make sure you have
videographers and photographers, a lot of them, and make sure you get if you can't edit, get an editor. But I personally love editing. I like the art of it.
Save yourself some money too.
Yeah, and I'm creative, and so I like coming up with ideas and how to, you know, what should this video be about? Every video needs to tell a story, or else they're not going to engage with your video. It needs to tell a story. So that's why, you know, I was posting a lot of takeover stuff, because there's a story behind takeovers. Like, you can explain what a takeover is and people engage. And then you can explain how a takeover is wrong and what you can do to do it legally and win money. And then they're like, oh, bet. Like, I'm coming, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, anything you see at any, like, with anything, you need to have media there and have something story related put together, mash it all together, throw it in a video, Trust me, you're going to see the numbers go up. So there's a lot of videos that are just aesthetically pleasing, and they have like a cool audio, and it's just super crisp video, and that'll get engagement just because it looks good. It doesn't have to tell a story, but most videos that don't have any words that just look super crisp, it's telling a story. They're getting in their car, they're going to the gas station, whatever. You know, that's a very overdone reel now, but like it did well. And now you have to adapt and change it up. And, you know, another thing that's doing well is the AI voice.
AI can help too,
Yeah, the AI voice. I did that, you know, and I've got like over 5 million views for one event within like 3 reels with the AI voice telling a story of like why you should come out and what we're trying to do to change the car community and bring it back to where it was, you know, Fast and Furious days. So
I think that has helped. I know people do the AI voice thing too for events, and it really,
I feel like I started it.
You think you started it? I honestly, I'm not really tapped into, I just see them on Instagram. But
I didn't start the AI voice. Dude, it was well done before I did it, but for events specifically,
for
like
events,
once people started seeing, like, you know, it definitely grew for sure just from that.
It's a great idea.
Like I've seen people like literally completely replicate what I said in a video and put it in another video of their own to promote their event.
Really?
Yeah. Dude, all the organization, like all the event organizers, they all know each other too. I don't talk to anyone
at all.
No, I don't like it. Dude, they all talk. So I'm like, I'm out. I don't talk to any event organizers because the car scene is pretty toxic if you really get nitty gritty with it.
It's very toxic.
Yeah.
It's super toxic. Yeah. A lot of
I just stay
clips.
Away from it. I'm like, dude, like I'm doing my own thing and I know what I'm doing. And I know I'm doing the right thing. And I know what I'm trying to do. And as soon as I tell you that, you're going to stomp all over it. So I'm out, bro.
It is extremely toxic. Yeah. A lot of the clips are, they blow up.
Yeah.
But it's fueled by hate, you know? And
yes.
It's the sad part of it. It's not like, you know, everyone's
glorifying. And that's like, I would hate for one of my videos to blow up just because of hate.
So are there any other events that you, like last night was for charity, right?
Yeah.
So are there any other events that you have done that were similar to that in terms of charity?
Yeah. So if you go back to November, that's where we started our relationship with the church. It's Crossroads Christian Church in Grand Prairie. Basically, a buddy that owns the shop, he reached out to Crossroads Christian Church. His name is Tony.
What's his name?
Tony.
Tony. Shout out to Tony.
Shout out to Tony. iAutoWorks.
What's up, Tony?
He's right there. But yeah, he made that connection, and we got to talking with the event organizers there. And they had hosted a car show before, and they're kind of familiar with it. But there's only like 40 or 50 cars there. And we just kind of explained to them, like, hey, we're a group that is out here hosting events, and we're bringing in the young generation of car enthusiasts to kind of show them the right way of doing things, you know, bringing back grassroots of the car scene. And we were wondering if y'all would like to partner up and use this opportunity to bring people in, to bring them closer to God, because it's at a church. And so they were all for it. And we offered them to not just come in and rent out the parking lot, but to come in and have them pick a charity to donate to while we, you know, do that. So they were like, oh, yeah, awesome. You know, like, let's do it. This sounds great. Don't really know who you guys are, but let's try it out. So they tried it out with us, and I was like, how about for this first one, we're not going to charge anyone. We're just going to do a food drive.
Okay.
So last November, last November before this one I'm talking about, we did, it was my first collab with Quiet. This is kind of like how we started our partnership.
Yeah.
We did a food drive at Maverick Harley-Davidson, which is what we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. We did a food drive, and that was a really big event, and it brought like 2,000 total meals for that first one.
Wow.
So 2,000 meals. And then we did like a collab hoodie or whatever and donated that and all the proceeds. But now we fast forward to this in the church. We're like, all right, well, it's November. It's Thanksgiving. That's why we did the food drive.
Right.
It was Thanksgiving. Fit perfectly. So Thanksgiving's coming up. We're going to do a food drive. So we had a food drive. It was great. like Cars and Coffee style, just super chill in the morning. We donated 6,000 pounds of canned goods.
6,000 pounds?
Yeah. And it was crazy. So 6,000 pounds, and Quiet did a dinner plate drop. So he sells license plates, and now we did a dinner plate for Thanksgiving.
That's pretty dope.
And it was
dope.
Quiet branded. And we donated all the proceeds from that, and it was about 10 grand.
You guys got photos of that, so we can put it up on a...
Yeah, I got photos of that.
Okay,
yeah.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love what Quiet is doing. It's super unique to the car community, too. Usually you see stuff like that in fashion.
Yeah.
Especially with a lot of designer
It's like
brands.
A Supreme. Like it's
exactly.
It's
yeah.
very heavily Supreme inspired.
Right.
But to bring it into the car scene and use like his virality of his videos to make an impact.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all there for it, and I want to help him out as much as I can with events and like just doing things the right way.
Right.
So, I mean, it's great. Like, the publicity he has to prove a point, like he has an army, so yeah. It's pretty sick.
I think the biggest thing that people need to learn from this is responsibility and also collaboration, because
yeah.
a lot of it has to do with, you know, you guys are really trying to make a big change in the car community
yeah.
and using collaboration.
Yeah, and like, you know, publicity and like
right.
ego, it's going to come with it. Like, that's not what I'm worried about.
Right.
I'm worried about making a change and encouraging people to do the right thing. I've said it a million times, but
you could tell you
encouraging
tell.
People and influencing people and, you know, just teaching them, you know,
right.
teaching the young generation. That's like really it. Cause the old heads, they're not going to change. They're not going to change.
Yeah.
They're not going to change.
That's true. I don't know what you consider an old head at 20.
Hey, old heads like are the ones that have been going to the same event for 20 years that have never been to
20 years
event.
All right, I'm not in that category then.
I've changed a lot of old heads' minds, but the vast majority of the population of car enthusiasts that are used to doing the same thing for 20 mm-hmm. years, I'm not even worried about them. I'm worried about people that are just stepping into it,
right.
where they have the option of going to a takeover or going to an actual event.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Get a job, build a car, go to the track. Or be a spectator and go to an event that has a permit where you can go see cars that you like.
Do you have any other events that are coming up
yeah,
in the near future?
I do. I have a few back-to-back events coming up. Coming up in June, so this is after everything that is coming up now. We're doing Father's Day event at the church, so where you were last night, we'll mm-hmm. be back. And then we're bringing back Drift and Drag. So we had hosted Drift and Drag events mm-hmm. in the past, where there's drifting and drag racing at a track, and we made this whole big thing about saving a track because it had closed down before, and we're, you know, tracks are closing down all over the United States
yeah.
and we're trying to bring them back. So we were hosting an event there called Drift and Drag, and they ended up having to shut down, which is sad, but we're now bringing it back at Texas Motor Speedway. So Texas Motor Speedway, May the 4th, be with you. And then April 6th, Clean Culture. I don't know.
Clean Culture.
Yeah. It's going to be inside a baseball stadium. Like
right.
it's both of our events. We're both hosting it, and it's going to be big. So Clean Culture, like, you know, the stance scene. So,
right.
They'll be out here with me on April 6th. And then we'll be hosting more events, obviously, the rest of the year.
Uh-huh.
So that's pretty much it.
Cool. Well, I do appreciate you taking the time to do this. I know
I
we had a
you,
long
man, more
day,
than anything,
bro.
Honestly.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm the time out here. I know you're busy with Texas 2K. Like,
I really wasn't busy. I just, I just wanted to,
Whoa.
Yeah, tired,
yeah.
walking around. But I definitely came out here to network.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just, like, cool that, you know, we kind of threw media.
Yeah, I think it worked out perfectly.
Connect.
Yeah.
So I do appreciate you, and I do appreciate everything you're doing, especially for
yeah,
the car
yeah.
community. If there's anything that I can do, it's just kind of use this as a platform to kind of
yeah.
let people like yourself share with the rest of the world
yeah.
and let them know that, you know, there are other choices you can make
mm-hmm.
that can, you know, be safer.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, be safer, and it's call me a fed, but dude, I'm doing it the right way, and I'm just doing it for the right reason, and it's for a cause. It's for the future. So if you're not on board, just don't even try. Just don't even comment, bro. I'm tired of y'all. No, that's okay.
Well, much success to your future events and your charities as well.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
So can you tell the viewers and listeners where to find you on social media?
My Instagram for the events is mnm.events with a Z. I do everything on Instagram, pretty much no other platform. It's just the best way. So you'll see all my flyers, the link tree with all the events and registrations, and all the beautiful reels as well. Trust me, you're going to love the content.
Yeah. Well, there you have it, guys. Make sure you guys check out Eli, owner of M&M Events.
Yes, sir.
In Texas.
If you want to come down to Texas, a lot of people do for my events. If you want to come down, it's a vibe. It's
definitely
Fast
a vibe.
And Furious for sure. And you could win money if you have like a badass car and you want to show it off.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
If that's what it
out.
Takes to get you out, you know, you can win money.
Thanks again.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You to Tony.
Tony.
For letting us use the shop as well.
Real.
You can't
that. He helped me build both of my cars too. Y'all didn't see the RSX, but he built the RSX.
We'll put a picture up on the video so you guys can see that as well.
Yeah. But he helped me build both cars. So
yeah. Shout out to Tony.
And helped me get a venue. So yeah. He's sick.
All right, guys. Well, there you guys have it. Make sure you guys like, share, comment, and subscribe. Make sure you guys check out Eli over at M&M Events. And yeah, we'll catch you on the next one. Peace.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.